Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On, our year-end review of all of the things that make us happy this week. I'm Brian the Bear. Oral's got a glass of wine in his mouth.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Oral, drinking already.
Hi, guys, it's me, Eric. I'm enjoying Havoc.
And it's Jared babysitting that damn dog.
And it's Pat. What's going on, guys?
So, as is tradition, we are missing Jeff. But we are wishing him a happy anniversary with his lovely fiance, Melody.
How long are they stretching that shit out for?
Well, you know.
18 months.
And they're actually watching all of The Hobbit. No, maybe all the Lord of the Ring movies. I'm not sure.
They're watching all of the
Hobbit. Just The Hobbit? Okay.
I think it's just The Hobbit.
How can it be just The Hobbit? Somebody said they're going for 9 hours. It can't be The Hobbit.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Unless they're doing the new one.
Oh, the new one.
Oh, they're doing the new one today.
The new one.
Oh,
okay. So we are recording this on the Monday, about a week and a half before Christmas, but you will be hearing this after Christmas.
I've done no shopping.
I haven't bought a thing.
When you hear
a thing.
Well, I don't feel so bad now.
Still didn't do any shopping.
But we hope you all had a lovely Christmas and or other holidays that you celebrate. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Solstice, I don't know, whatever other you heathens listen to. You know, I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, girl,
just
I'm
kidding.
Sorry,
we love all you heathens out there. But this is our year-end review show. We are we're gathered here today to talk about the things in 2014 that we enjoyed the most. And we got a whole list of stuff. Our regular full monthly media recording will continue next month at some point. Also, if you hear bites and dogs and growls and snarls, that is our newest member of the household, Mr. Havoc, Thanos Del Rio. He is in here with us, running around, trying to not be too annoying.
I didn't think we were going to use his full name every single time we mentioned him.
Well, because it's such a great name.
Havoc!
Thanos Del Rio. No. And you got to say it like Del Rio. Of course, named for Bianca Del Rio, the once and future queen of all drag superstars.
He's our pod dog.
He is the pod dog. What is that from? Radio
from
Chick?
The Radio Chick podcast. Radio Chick was a radio personality in New York for quite some time around the advent of the shock jock era in New York, with after Stern was really popular. There was Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez and the Radio Chick, and after they went to Sirius and then Sirius let them go, they started doing a podcast 2 years after their contract was up, and they would record in her townhouse. Well, and she had a dog, and they kind of had the same setup we do. And then Gomez, you would never really hear him on there, but they would always be talking about, like, you know, him wanting to play, and kind of exactly what's happening to Eric right now. And he was their pod dog, so.
Well, we got a pod dog. So before we jump into our top whatevers, I do want to put a special congratulations out there to Miss Ginger Minge, our local Orlando drag superstar, soon to be on season 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Ginger is an old friend of mine, sort of through my former roommate Eric, and we are hoping to get her on the podcast very soon. But she did make the cut. She is on season 7, even though we thought that it was maybe a bout of MRSA, which was her claim at the time.
Make sure you get that MRSA checked out, because it turns into a full-blown case of RuPaul's Drag Race. If you don't, you're not careful.
So, thanks to... congratulations to her. But yeah, let's just jump in. Oh, of course, Jared, our very own artist in residence, Mr. Jared, Guy Tunist. He graduated.
Yeah.
So we may actually see him a little more often, although really lately it's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Real college.
Really, yeah. Well,
I'm not going to be able to do the show notes.
I think he missed one. Maybe two.
But no, we're very proud of him finishing up that lovely Phi degree. And yeah, that's it, I guess. Let's jump in. Movies. So there were a lot of movies this year that we've talked about over the course of our 12 months of podcasting this year. I would like to not start with me, but I'll start with Eric, because I actually very much agree with Eric's choice on this.
My X-Men Days of Future Past.
Amen.
Woo! I fucking loved it. The giant eraser that is to get rid of all the atrocity that happened in X-Men 3. And I loved it. I showed up like a couple of times. So I was good.
You were in there.
I was in there a few times. They did a whole backflash with all of me. And then I showed up at the end and the fuck me red hair and it's fat.
That was a little crazy. That red hair was.
That was. I'm like, you're Dark Phoenix, aren't you, bitch? You're like, I can't fool anyone with this.
Now, who was the actor who played Hank McCoy?
Oh.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
But no, he was through his present. Yeah. Oh, that geeky, gangly sort of way.
God, no!
But, no, I absolutely love that movie. I think I was very happy when they showed the rest of the X-Men finally showing up in their full and returned glory.
I loved it. I loved the mix that he did and all the fixing he did. And now, for the continuation. Now we're getting... I'm sorry, I'm not used to it.
Put it in your mouth.
Okay.
Oh, God. That is what that looks like. That's awesome. But yeah, no, I mean, it retconned at least it retconned the third movie. Some think it retconned all the movies.
First off, it was Nicholas Holt who played Hank McCoy.
Thank you.
That series of... First Class in Days of Future Past, the younger version of Beast. And no matter what anybody says, it didn't just erase X3. It altered all the movies. It had to.
Oh, yeah, because now we're getting in the new one, the new Gene, Apocalypse. The new Scott.
Yeah, once you go into Apocalypse, this whole timeline has changed because of the fact that all of their pasts were changed.
Like Star Trek, like everything else they do nowadays.
Exactly.
Like, aren't they doing Terminator, too?
Yeah, they're doing a
big eraser on that one, too.
Exactly. But that's what everybody's like, oh, it just erased X3. X1 and X2 are still there. Bitch, you can't pick and choose what you don't get out of the trilogy. The trilogy is gone.
All hail the new trilogy.
Well, exactly. And this is going to be another trilogy, with Apocalypse being the third movie, and then that's going to be the end of that trilogy. And
then Marvel will find a way to wrestle the rights back from Fox, like they're doing with Spider-Man right now.
Oh, please let it happen.
I know. I was very... I took everything I read with a grain of salt. Well, at least a salt shaker of salt. But still, I think it will hopefully happen. Yeah, salt. For all you Buffett fans out there. All right, ladies, now.
Sorry.
Let's go to Oral. What's your favorite movie of this past year?
Okay, so I technically have two. There's one that I recently saw this year. And by recently, I mean last week. I finally saw Fargo.
Wait, the original movie?
Uh-huh.
Holy crap, dude.
I know.
Girl,
but
that can't be a favorite movie of 2014.
I meant to get around to it.
I had a straw up my nose, a martini in my hand when I saw that fucking movie.
But no, I just really enjoyed that movie. I know people like that. It just seems like, oh, how's the fricassee? Like, it's real good. It's real good.
So have you seen the TV show?
No, that's what I'm going to watch next.
I think we didn't really talk about it much because I think my brother and I are the only ones that watched it. Mm-hmm. But wait until you get to the TV show and you see the connection, which there is, and yet you see the thematic relationship to the series. It's really cool how they did it.
Okay.
And I just rewatched the movie like this past or 2 weekends ago, and I still love it. It's a great movie.
But I think my favorite movie this year has to be Guardians. Like, woo! Guardians for me just sold everything that I ever wanted. And did I think it was perfect? No. But all of the elements were there to introduce people to a section of Marvel that has always been neglected, and I'm really happy that now more people are reading it. While I don't necessarily read all of the series that have come out of Cosmic Marvel, what they did for the cinematic universe was fantastic, and amen. And that's going to be my pick for 2014.
And you know, I expect that I will be watching this again in the near future, and when I do, I hope my opinion changes.
I really hope it does too, because you're bullshit.
I actually wanted to see it again in the theaters, and I never made it out. But I really do think I'll enjoy it on a second watch. I really do, and I would, you know, I enjoyed it to a point. Now, Jared, what would your favorite movie be this year?
Well, my favorite movies were already listed because those are the two films I actually made time to go see this year.
Oh, have you seen any other movies in your travels or at FIA or doing anything? I don't know. They don't like movie night while you're modeling and doing software things, gaming,
softcore. Don't hit me, Jared, please.
I'm going through my Rolodex and
of hate.
Sure. No, I can't think of anything. I think we watched the indie game movie.
Oh, I heard that was good.
I fell asleep during that. And when I woke up, it was ending. And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. So since we all seem to have two, except for Eric, because, you know, he's whatever. He was playing by the rules. I'll do two. One, Jodorowsky's Dune, which, Jared, you need to see very soon.
Okay. I want to see it, too. Let's watch it
together. We should have a movie night. And we can't, actually. This is a documentary about Jodorowsky. He's a director who makes crazy art house films.
Like The Holy Mountain.
He's a Mexican filmmaker. He tried, but did not succeed. Yes. To make a Dune,
was the greatest movie to never happen.
Which did then get made finally by Lynch. That's the 82 film, I believe. But this documentary, what's that?
Sting?
Yep, with Sting. This movie, this was crazy. Like, they go through pretty much a lot of the planning and sort of like pre-execution. Like, they had, you know, storyboards by Moebius. They had Foss, another great British cover artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
O'Bannon, who's the guy who created the Aliens movie. Not the living vampire, no.
Moebius.
Everyone says Moebius now. Moebius. So I'm just like,
what?
I don't know. But anyway, the thing is. No. Dr. Octopus? No. Spider-Verse? No. Okay. So it was really cool. The music is to be probably one of my favorite parts. It was by this. I forgot the guy's name. I should have looked. Spacecraft was the group. Though there was a guy actually from it. And it's this delightfully like synthesized, analog, crazy music. And it fit the subject matter perfectly. So if you have a chance, go check out Jodorowsky's Dune. The other movie I will mention, because I had not seen it, is Snowpiercer.
I actually watched that.
Was it really good?
I enjoyed it a lot.
It's on Netflix.
That's the Chris Evans one, right?
Which one?
Chris Evans?
Uh-huh. Yes. Chris Evans. So this is the thing. Like, it did not really get a big theatrical release. It got like a same day download online and whatever release, and it is by a Korean, I believe, filmmaker, the guy who did The Host, and it is based on a French post-apocalyptic graphic novel, which I have read and has nothing to do with the movie itself. But we actually talked about this a little bit when I think it was just Jeff, Jared, and I on the show. I'm sure all of you listeners can go back and find that. We talk very extensively about it, but it was great. It was fun. It is weird. Oh, and Tilda Swinton's in it in this awesome role that just you can't forget her. She's got these teeth and she's like a bureaucrat. Oh, it's great. Anyway, oh, we did see Mockingjay, or what's the new Mockingjay one? Catching Fire? No, Electric Boogaloo. What the hell is that?
Mockingjay.
Mockingjay, Part 1. I do want to shout that out. It actually reminded me of Snowpiercer a little bit.
Electric Boogaloo.
I just watched the second movie like a month ago.
Yep.
You know what? Not too shabby.
Oh, no. The first,
not too shabby.
The whole series has been good, and they did change directors for the second and the third one now. But I felt like they've kept the good parts of the first one, and they've made it even better. So I really enjoyed it. It's a great movie. All right. That is our movie segment. Or, Pat, did you have a movie? I'm sorry. I completely...
You ain't nobody and you never gonna be nobody.
You're still on the please.
I just produce the show. I don't get a say in what's talked about. My pick was Wish I Was Here, which is the Zach Braff movie that came out this year. It's a bit heady in a lot of what it is. It's very much... it was him and his brother who wrote the movie, so... It's very much focused around their life and kind of growing up and getting to that 40-year-old milestone and kind of trying to figure out what to do with your life and trying to balance between being an artist and actually having to be an adult and support your family. And, yeah, it was very, very kind of touching. And, well, I may not be at that point of...
Death.
Yes, yes. Well, I may not be at that point in my life where I kind of have to do that. There have been things that I've gone through where it's a matter of do I continue to try to do what I am passionate about or what I really enjoy and what I want to do, or do I, you know, go back to retail? Luckily, we have not made it back to that point yet.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's a tough movie. It really is. Like, I didn't expect the emotional feels that I had from Mr. Mandy Patinkin, of course, and Zach and his brother. I forgot who played his brother, but they it's a show. It's a movie rather that touches into, like, sci-fi and like the sci-fi culture of the Comic-Con, and the brothers like used to like play together in like sort of like spaceman. It was really kind of touched a lot of stuff, very personal connections for me, especially being in that phase of my life where, not that I don't do my day job, but there have been things that I have wanted to do more, and you know it's tough sometimes to choose between them and all that. So it was good. I enjoyed it too.
And,
all right.
And Jeff's pick for movie of the year: Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
since he did not,
100% everything that Oral said, ditto.
Yep.
Signed, Jeff. That's that. I got that note, and that was what was left in our mailbox.
I saw it in the dock.
Television. So. I'll start just because, why not? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know I am, actually, Pat and I
okay,
are
look, I'm going to interject. I tried. I did season one. I went right to Lady Sif. And before I knew I was cleaning my house, I give a rat's ass about the show.
Well,
I'm sorry. I tried. I wanted to get to the Inhumans.
I tried. Here's the thing. You can start with season two. You won't get everything that's going on. But if you want to jump right into that, start with series two, which... Some of which is on Hulu. I'm sure some of which you can find. I mean, whatever. But no, the big thing with this, we've talked about it numerous times. It struggled in the beginning. It found its voice. I think it was after the Lady Sif episode, but I don't remember exactly. And by like mid-season
Sif, Wonder Woman, same thing. I was like, dear God, you're Wonder Woman.
Well, wait till Mockingbird shows up, and it is Wonder Woman.
She bounces her bracelets and the bullets off. I'm like, God damn it, girl.
Yes! Wipe those sticks, bitch! Yes!
I told that story to friends up in D.C., and they thought that was funny. But no, it really kicked ass, especially with the reveal.
Okay,
and again,
the mid-season finale.
Spoilers to everyone listening, of course.
It's been 3.5 weeks since that episode. If you haven't...
No, it was last week.
I even know, and I don't even watch it.
When they hear this...
Oh, that's true.
Keep up the magic!
I always forget.
Fifth wall!
Uh-huh. No,
That the mid-season finale, like not the last scene, because there was a scene after that whole thing. Okay, when the Diviner opens up and the Terrigen crystals are there, and it's from the first puff of Terrigen mist, and then Trip, everyone's like, "Ooh, well, all right, this is good,
feeling good."
And then they start getting cocooned, and then Trip kicks the Terrigen crystals and ends up killing himself in that manner. The scene where Daisy, we'll just call her Daisy now.
Yep.
Daisy Johnson. She, when she became Quake, was re-fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Really? Probably one of the most awesome things I've seen on television.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because it's a power that you can put on television without a lot of special effects and without it looking cheesy.
Everybody start shaking. Like, everybody start shaking. Oh, all right, God. Knock the boxes down. Knock the boxes down.
It was, you know, I mean, it
She's
was
out of control.
It was no first episode of Flash where he had to run up the tornado. But I mean, at least Flash got better with that too. But no, it was seriously probably the best scene of television that I've seen so far this fall out of any of the shows was her coming out, because it was so emotionally drenched, because she had grown to really, you know, connect with this guy, and then she sees him dead and she comes out of it, and just her powers activate, everything starts, you know, crumbling around her. She almost kind of levitates in it, and
it was really cool.
Oh my god, it was awesome.
And it imperils the rest of the team, because they're all stuck underground, so now her quake may actually end up
killing everybody.
Yeah,
great.
I mean,
Coulson's like, outside like,
hello? I thought he was going on in part of that. I thought they were going to do something with him. But no, it's really gotten cool, and obviously now we know it's going to tie into Age of Ultron, and later the Inhumans. Like, they're going to do a whole, like, they show at the end, like, the post-credits thing, some guy with no face,
no
eyes on his face. And they said he might be the Reader from the new Charles Soule thing, which that seems awfully quick unless they're
really pushing Inhuman. And because of, you know, the hiccups with Joe Matt and Matt Fraction, like, they're really scrambling to kind of, like, push them again.
Right.
With hype outside of the actual comic book series. But that series is really good.
Yeah, no, it's been good. The art's a little mixed.
Okay, girl, I'm checking back in. We still don't care about Sky/Daisy/Quake.
No,
okay.
No, I tried, girl.
Which one was Trip? Was Trip the cute one?
The cute black eye, yeah.
They were both cute.
Which? The cute black eye? Which? The cute black eye? Girl, we didn't make it that far. Okay, yeah.
I don't remember the black
eye. No. They were added later.
So
Trip shows up at the end of season one.
So the black eye dies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One of the black guys.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Uh-huh.
But it was a little misdirection, too. Anyway. All right.
Had to. No, they had
so basically, if you're not on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, you got to go check it out.
The thing I'm curious to see is what Reyna turns into, because...
Oh, yeah, she had like little spiky things.
The girl in the flower dress, you probably got to that point at some point. Or, no? All right, never mind.
I didn't remember.
He was in his French maid outfit. It's great.
Exactly.
And I would stop, I'd see Wonder Woman kill people in the bar. I was like, oh, yeah, you go see him. And then I go,
Well, Reyna, I didn't realize, was being teased through this whole time to be connected to the Inhumans, but apparently she is also. And when she started to partially come out of the cocoon, she had spikes on her face and a reptile-like yellow eye. So we don't quite know where that's going to go.
Somebody speculated she might be like Tigra. I don't know. There are all kinds of random speculations. I will say they did the cocoons so much better than the stupid comics have always done them, because they don't look like Adam Warlock's cocoon. They look like just a body mold with that material. So they handled it all very well. I thought it was cool.
Too bad it wasn't Adam Warlock's, because then nobody could deny him being in Guardians of the Galaxy anymore.
I know, right?
As much as James Gunn does.
Pat, what was your favorite television show?
All right. Well, since you picked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and my other show got canceled,
A to Z.
Aww. Yeah. Although they're still showing it. I was scared because it was like 2 weeks without a new episode. And I was like, I want the rest of my 13. Just give me the 13 and be done with it. Unlike Selfie, which only got to show 8 on TV.
Bitches.
But if you have Hulu Plus, they're playing the rest of the unaired episodes.
Yes, they are.
Well, I haven't seen any of the other ones. They put the 9th unaired episode on there. That's all that we've gotten so far. So if they do, great, you know. But... for not being a DC fan, I'm actually pretty happy with The Flash. It's been a good show. I don't watch Arrow. We watched the crossover, and I could have cared less. Not enough shirtlessness for me at that point. But, you know, whatever. But they've done a great job. They've cut down the cheese factor. That was my biggest issue.
It was getting cheesy.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Well, the villain of the week thing, kind of like Smallville, it was kind of forced. But, oh, my God, when they did the reveal of the man in yellow of the Reverse Flash.
See, I didn't see that yet. No, what happened? Okay, I would
so
watch
good.
The Flash part of the crossover.
Yeah.
And then I must have dozed off somewhere, because I woke up and there was Ronnie Raymond all on fire. I was like, what the fuck?
That's from, then they bring him back for that.
I was like, oh, God, I got to watch the rest of them. So, yeah, I got to go back.
Oh, is that where that was from? I didn't realize he had already been there, because I know that, what's her name, Caitlin goes to talk to Iris, and she talks about the man on fire and whatnot. I'm like, when did that happen? Oh, I must have dozed off during that.
See,
that
see,
also.
Really well.
My bad.
The only thing about The Flash that I don't like is it's very melodramatic. It's very CW.
It is.
So
it is completely
you have
CW.
To...
I don't like Barry. He's too young. I don't take a 12-year-old being a forensic scientist.
True.
He is very
young.
That's
the thing.
You're
that's
right.
The only thing. I know the audience they're going for, so I understand.
but it doesn't seem like Barry Allen from the comics.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I had no idea where he was from before, and then I had friends over the other night while Brian was out of town, because, you know, he leaves me for 4 days at a time to go hang out with his friends up in D.C. I put on the YouTube clip for Glee's rendition of Smooth Criminal, where Santana and the guy from the other school duke it out with the cello guys, and all of a sudden it closes up on the other guys from the guy from the other school's face, and I'm like, where do I know this guy? And then Eric Mader looks at me and goes, he's the Flash. I was like, oh shit. Good thing he got off a sinking ship like Glee and onto the Flash. But it's definitely gotten better. The effects have gotten better. It's not so damn cheesy.
Captain Cold is magnificent.
I can't wait for him to come back. So good. Has he come back?
They're going to bring him back in the second half.
The guy I liked is dead now, and just because he was hot.
Oh,
the guy with the bear paw tattoo on his arm. He was the guy from their high school. Yeah. I saw a bear. The bear.
Colossus?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, you're Colossus.
I forgot what he did. All I knew is he was hot and had a bear paw tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, that's all you
said. I was like, and I'm in! But it definitely has gotten better. The mid-season finale or winter finale, depending on what station you're or what channel you watch. It was good. I wasn't so taken aback by the reveal at the end.
The man in yellow?
Yeah. I mean, I like the episode, but it's...
Does it say who it is?
Yeah.
Very end.
Yeah.
Which people are speculating, like, it's
Iris, isn't it? Okay.
It's a little unclear. It's a little like they, it's not unclear, but they're saying there's more to it than that. And I'll be honest, if you've been watching the show, you probably have a pretty damn good idea who it is. Because they have built it up very, very step by step.
How could there be more to it when the thing that he does right at the end is like, you can't, it's him. Like, there can't be.
It's him, but it's.
Goes in the shower.
It's him in the future. It's him in the future. You don't want to know? You don't want to?
No, but I mean,
regardless.
The very end scene.
I'm going to tell Batman, and Batman's going to hit you, so that's okay.
Oh.
You know what they told me?
Oh, great.
He's got 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks before this comes out. He better watch it.
The very end, after basically Reverse Flash tries to... They have this, like, tachyon device. It's like a time travel thing. Like, they lure him into Star Labs to try to catch him with that. And he comes in, and they catch him for a little bit, and they talk to him, but he's vibrating his face and talking weird.
He's doing the Flash stuff, but he's got glowing red eyes, and you know.
Yeah, he's got the eyes. He grabs Orson, Dr. Wells. I think it's Harrison, not Orson. But it's Orson Welles.
He grabs Orson Welles.
It's H.G. Wells, which isn't Orson. Anyway, he grabs him and puts, like, he beats the shit out of him, like, knocks him crazy, and then they like, let him out. Like, they have to kill the force field.
And then Tom Collins says, turn the damn thing off because he's going to kill him.
Doesn't he, like, beat
Well, no, he does. And then, what's his name? Long-haired Spanish boy is like, Cisco.
What does Killer Frost do?
Oh, my God! Where's my boyfriend?
Anyway.
She's trying to cool down her vagina after running into Firestorm.
Yeah, after having...
So Cisco is like, no, but he'll get out. And then he's like, fuck this shit. Grabs something and starts beating the machine to turn it off.
Sorry.
What?
He's like, I'll cover you. Bam.
Oh, very good.
So then Reverse Flash runs away. He goes up to
fight.
The other cop that Iris is dating.
Thawne.
I love him.
Oh, I know, right? So then they fight. Triangle wins. You know, all that stuff. But they have a scene at the very end where basically Harrison Wells, who we all know walks and we all know is lying to everybody.
And has that secret room where he talks to the computer.
From the future. He takes the device that Reverse Flash had stolen.
And opens up a secret door.
With a ring. He has a Flash ring. He puts it into the thing, turns a black Flash costume yellow and black, like the Reverse Flash.
He just turned a light on. I don't think he turned a color.
No, I think it was color.
Thing opened up and the light turned on and it was black and yellow.
Because
it's not fully yellow. It's like
they're doing something with the Flash ring. But anyway, he takes the device and he charges it up and then with that altered voice says, Merry Christmas or something like that. The theory is that Reverse Flash that came and did all that is Harrison Wells from the future. And that at this point in time, Harrison Wells is maybe still like malleable, like he could be still good, he could be still bad, but that he is now seeing what he becomes and either is going to take advantage of that or is, I don't know, that's what's unclear, I think.
He's making it sure that he can do all this stuff. That's why Reverse Flash came back to get the tachyon accelerator,
right,
which will make him run faster than anything, so that way he can go back into the past and get it. He's on a loop right now.
Well, no, and they've said from the beginning that the end of the first season is in the beginning of the season. So that first fight with Barry Allen's mom is probably how the season's going to end, where they're fighting each other. So, you know, it's cool. I think it's very organic. It makes sense. All of us who've read the new Geoff Johns Flash, we saw the elements of this sort of coming. But it's still possible they could do something weird like Thawne, because they have built up Eddie or whatever. Yeah, it's Eddie. Sort of is like a Flash. They don't like each other. Although now he might like Flash.
They spar together. They seem to be coming friends.
Well, Barry Allen.
Barry Allen. He doesn't like Flash.
So they might actually still go for like a Reverse Flash Hunter.
Well, that's a whole jealous thing, because he sees Iris is in love with him. Well, falling for Flash.
And they deal with that a little bit too. So it was really good. It was good. Good season. Or half season. What's your favorite show?
My favorite show, I have to say Gotham, for the fact of, not because of Commissioner Gordon, I get rat's ass about him, it's because a character I can't stand in the comic books, I am just on the edge of my seat within the show, and that's the Penguin.
Yeah.
I am so enthralled with the Penguin. And each week, I look forward to him. And now even, like, the Riddler has been trickling in.
Yeah.
And these are characters I don't like in the comic. Like, I don't read when they have story like Zero Year. Once it was Red Hood and was done and went to Riddler, I didn't read it. But, you know, it's, and the same thing with the Penguin. He shows up, I don't care.
Did you like that kick-ass Alfred at the end of the thing?
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
It's everything. It's even Bruce, and I thought that would bother me, him being a kid.
Him and Selina. I loved it. Loved it.
I loved that whole little thing, but I mean,
Lil Gotham.
I don't like Commissioner Gordon. Well, yeah, James Gordon. I'm not a big fan. Bullock is okay.
Yeah.
Montoya, lesbian. Yes. Barbara Gordon, lesbian.
Ooh, that's delicious. No. What do you think of the season sort of game changer at the end there, where he basically send Gordon off to Arkham? That's inspired. Like, I don't know that they've ever done that in the comics, and that's kind of a cool idea to sort of slow down his rise in the police department, but also mix it up with the people in Arkham. Like, that's kind of cool.
He can't be commissioner in like a season.
Well, no.
Batman's so he's only like 8 years old in this.
You kind of set him back.
Whatever.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah,
listen, I'm done with
Bruce
it.
Bruce is 12. I don't know. I liked it. The end redeemed it. There were moments like before, like in the earlier episodes, I thought, this is awful, this is awful. Yeah. And they're still, it's very uneven. I will say that.
I hate Mooney, but I know she's a Penguin. Like, I just see Penguin killing her for the position.
Maybe even as soon as the end of the season.
Like, every time I see her, I'm like, how are you going to die now? Yeah.
So. I can't. The one thing that DC and Warner Brothers are not doing that, and Brett White wrote an article about, you know, how the synergy of the Marvel Comics universe and the Marvel Cinematic universe can be bad and yada, yada, yada. And I understand that, but I don't like the fact that DC has no ties to what they've done before. And I mean, I know Batman's gone through like 14 iterations in the films, and we'll go through another one again come, Batman v Superman. Bruce,
are you the one wearing the nipple costume?
Oh, will you be the one?
Yes. Yes, Joel Schumacher will have to issue an apology. He will have to issue an apology on the DVD. But yeah, I just don't like how, because you know, none of this can be canon. None of this can be canon whatsoever, because...
Well, it's very much year one. Like, that kind of feel of commissioner.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
No, I mean, it's just, I guess the thing with canon and the thing with DC is...
Not Nick Cannon.
No. DC has always valued the sort of Japanese model where we can take existing known characters and just make a new instance of them and let them do their thing and to tell a story. It's their Elseworlds model. And now it's their 52 whatever model. Marvel, even though they had the multiple universes, has been a little less... They're more interested in that shared universe, shared experience thing.
What? What? We chopped up all of our series over different networks. The multiverse.
Yes.
When they made Geoff Johns fix his mouth to lie to us and say all these things can happen because it's the multiverse. I'm like, How many trucks of money did they back up to your house? Oh. How many?
Look at his body now. You know he ain't working.
Oh, has he got?
Yeah. Just create another Earth. It'll be fine.
Has he gotten a little doughy?
Huh? No.
He ain't work. Oh, he's jacked. All right. Well, let's move on. So Gotham was good. Oral, what's your favorite show?
Oh, my favorite television show this year is actually quite simple. Well, first of all, I want to give an honorable mention to Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which is back. Season 2 is on Netflix.
What is that?
Think of Downton Abbey meets Murder, She Wrote.
Really?
Yeah, but there's a lot of sex.
Where did this air?
It's an Australian show.
Well,
and
all right.
It's on Netflix, and I was first put onto it due to Linda Holmes from Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Oh, cool.
And I love it. It's a fantastic series. And each season's only 13 episodes. So that's my honorable mention.
Sweet.
But my show. Girl, you know what it is.
I didn't want
girl,
to take it away from you.
If this is a Shonda Rhimes show.
To Get Away.
It is so good.
All I read on Facebook are these people posting about the hot gay sex they just watched.
You know what?
On
it's not.
Television.
It's fucking hot.
Yeah, it's hot, but it's not even a Shonda show. I think she's like a showrunner
right,
or producer.
No, she's an executive producer.
Uh-huh. But like, and you know, Scandal hasn't been too bad this season, but Murder is everything.
It is everything. But it's nice for me, like, to see a gay guy taking on that girl role. Like, most of the shows, like, the girl was just her body and stuff. And to see this guy turn around and use his hotness to get the gay guys to give up all the information.
Huh.
Oh, he's so delicious, Connor.
Connor's awesome. And he's
straight,
by far.
And even better. And he's straight, so that makes it even hotter.
And, you know, like, the looks that he gives are priceless. But I love, like, the murder mystery that we have when we get bits and pieces of, like, the clues. I love how every once in a while we'll get, not every once in a while, like, every episode is, like, a new sort of case. It gives you that, like, the practice feel, which I'm a huge fan of, like, legal,
right,
like, dramas and procedurals. And so, like, getting all of this in a Shonda Rhimes show, I know some people don't like it, and it's beyond me, but Murder, like, I can miss an episode of Scandal. I am not caught up in a Horror Story.
And me neither.
Oh, my God.
But
yeah,
I will tell you this.
Although, what are you caught up to?
I'm two episodes behind.
Oh, boy. The last episode, not the very last, but the one before, we just watched it. Lots of death.
Not such a fan of it this year.
Me either. No. If it wasn't for Dandy, I don't think I'd care.
Well, you know, don't ruin this for me.
Oh, you get to see Danny's ass.
Okay, I'll watch it.
I can miss episodes here and there. Murder, I do not miss. And I watch it with my friend, you know, Rachel.
Yeah.
I get off of work because we tried to do this whole weekend wait, blah, 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 blah. No. No matter what time I get off on Thursday, I book it over to her house. She has DVR'd it. We watch it. We drink wine, and we're just like, oh, my God.
Now, there hasn't been a new episode, right?
No.
Okay,
we're on the break.
So they're on the break. Okay.
Till the end of January.
I'm like, come on.
I can't. Ugh. But, yes, that's my pick. How to Get Away with Murder.
Jared, have you watched television at all this year?
What's television?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know,
the radio hat.
Did you watch the Sailor Moon? New Sailor Moon?
No. Okay.
Vidya games. Some of us play them. Some of us know about them, and some of us make them.
Yeah.
Jared, what's your favorite video game this year? I know you play a little bit.
Shut up, Havoc.
Havoc knows you play.
He's judging you. Let's see. It's a toss-up between Dragon's Crown and Dragon Age Inquisition.
You're playing Dragon
How is
Age
Inquisition? I heard
oh,
it's awesome.
Oh, God, it's gorgeous.
Have you seen any of the gay sex scenes yet?
No, I haven't played enough of it yet.
So there's one online.
Yeah.
Is it spoiler to tell you who's in it?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Well, and I watched another one this weekend because my friend Alfred up in Maryland has it.
I know that if I start romancing people, it's definitely going to be Dorian. So
that's who he did. And I was like, he looks like a little Frenchie. I don't mean a bulldog.
I'm not into bigger guys, so I'm not going to go with the bull. Sorry.
That. I should have known.
I like my
Dorian's
things.
Just very French. mm-hmm. and being of French descent.
He's Orlesian.
That doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. But the bowl? Is that
yes.
Name? Yeah. The Iron Bowl. And that scene that's online. That,
like, and that's Freddie Prinze Jr. too.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Freddie Prinze Jr. voice
yeah.
bowl?
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, that scene is hilarious. Like, it's really funny. At least the one that, you know, we posted. It's, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but if you remain spoiled, whatever. But the other members of your party come in and find you guys together.
The scribe I found was hilarious, where she's just so intrigued by it. She's like, I don't remember the line. I just remember she was just staring.
Yeah. It's a funny, it's legitimately sort of sexy and yet funny and yet poignant at one point. It's fun. But the game itself, other than that, is a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah.
Everything I've heard says it's really good. I almost bought it. I held back because I'm like, you know, I don't play these games long at fast. You know, like, I could wait until it goes down to like $30.
Pays to have friends in EA.
Well, yeah. I used to have friends at EA and then I hired them. I think that's how I got Mass Effect, but anyway, whatever. Oral, have you played any of the games?
I've been slacking on my games. Like, I barely touched the new Smash Brothers, and I hopefully will play sometime this week.
We can play right after this if you want.
I've played Mario Kart Wii, which is which, you know what, actually that's the game I played the most. Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, okay.
8 is gorgeous. It's a bunch of fun.
Oh, so beautiful.
DLC just came out. I would have to say that's probably because Mario Party hasn't come out yet. Like,
is
Mario
that coming Kart, out? Is that supposed to come 8, out soon?
It's supposed to come out. I don't know when, but I'm really stoked for that.
Yeah, Pat'll be really excited about that one. Have you tried Hyrule Warriors? Did you see that at all?
I'm not a Dynasty Warriors sort of person.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I played it.
This is the thing. I've only played the Gundam Dynasty Warriors before. Uh-huh. And it's very similar. I mean, they're all the same kind of games. It's... But I will say this. The storyline they did for this Dynasty Warriors clone with Link and Zelda and all this, mm-hmm. all their friends, I think it's actually pretty interesting and pretty good. It's like a proper Zelda. I mean, and it's not just a proper Zelda. It's like a time traveling or a parallel universe or whatever. Like, they go to different eras of Zelda, and it's cool. And then you get the amiibo, and it unlocks like your little spinner guy.
What the fuck is an amiibo?
Okay. I don't know. I have some. I can show you after this, but I'll tell you.
What the fuck is an amiibo?
Have you ever seen a Skylander?
It's a Skylander?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. It's the little figurines.
Right.
Yes.
But, and I don't know how Skylander works, because you don't, I think with Skylander, you could play as, the thing you put on the thing, you know? With this, it's like a Pokemon where you train him, and you don't play as him, but you fight against him, and you level him up, and you buy him stuff, and he gets better and better, or she gets better and better. And then you can take him with you, and use them on other systems and play with other people. At least for Smash Brothers. Now, for Zelda, you unlock a spinner. For Mario Kart, you unlock an outfit that makes you look like them with a hoodie. It's kind of lame. But games can do whatever they want. This is the cool thing about amiibos compared to the other ones. The other, like Infinity or Skylanders, are just for those games. This is for any game on a Nintendo system, you could do something with it. So, it's kind of cool.
So, it's like the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge for Sega Genesis.
Yes, exactly. What is interesting, and I feel like I should share this because I didn't think about it, but it's true. If you're interested in collecting these, get the obscure ones, like the yoga trainer, like Marth, yeah, the villager. Like, those are the ones that they're probably not going to make a whole lot of, whereas Mario, Link, Samus, all of them, they're going to have a lot. And I was at Target earlier today. In fact, I could not find any of the obscure ones. So I'm just saying, if you're like a completist and you have to have them all, get the obscure ones. Now, my favorite game, of course, I had Hyrule Warriors, but I've talked about that. I'll talk a little bit about Smash Brothers. I have it for those, the 3DS and for the Wii U. And what's cool is they actually made it so that you can use your Wii U at, or your 3DS as a controller for your Wii U copy. The only thing that sucks is you can't share data other than like your characters. You can't, like, if you've unlocked stuff on one platform, you don't get to unlock them on the other. That would have been nice, just because, God, it's hard sometimes to unlock the characters. And when you're not very good like myself, you know. But I refer back to our, I think we talked about this last episode. We had a great time with the Orlando Gay Geek Group. Pat, myself, and a couple of our friends went, and we did the 8-way Mario, or the Super Smash Brothers.
I totally wanted to go to that. I
you
was working.
Totally should. Well, we're I'm helping out with that group now, so we're hoping to have a few more gaming events coming up. So, but no, it was a lot of fun. 8-way Super Smash Brothers is totally fun. Eric, have you played any?
The only thing I actually just started playing was the Marvel Lego one.
Yeah,
it's cute.
It's cheap now. You can get for like $15.
It was $20.
Yeah, it's cheap. And it's great. It's cute, well worth it.
But I'm already stuck. So
oh,
like,
I know. Those games kill me because if you don't quite see the scene the right way, because they don't let you change angles, I don't think. Like, it's so tough to figure out what you're supposed
like,
to do next.
I'm like, oh, I'm stuck. And somebody gave me all the cheat codes so I can get Jean Grey. And I'm just like, oh, I just want Jean.
I don't even know if Pat played most of it. I don't even know if he unlocked Jean Grey or not.
You have to go to level 8.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Yes. Well, he got through the X-Men mansion and all that stuff, but I don't know. Havoc, I know you want to talk on the radio, but be quiet. Okay, good. So,
so that was the only one I played. I mean, I did get the pleasure. A friend of mine showed me The Evil Within.
Okay.
Okay. It's that new horror game.
Oh, I don't know.
So they would just say, all right, Eric, just play the first 10 minutes of it. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh, my fucking God. It was horrific. I can't do it.
It was made by the same guy that did Resident Evil.
Yeah. That's it. But oh, my God. Really? I just couldn't. I hid in the locker for like 15 minutes. They're like, Eric, are you getting out? I'm like, no, I'm done.
Now, moving on to music. We actually did have two entries, Pat and myself. You guys can think of ones you liked. Mine was The Near Future by I Fight Dragons, which actually just came out. And I want to plug mainly because, A, I loved it. B, I was part of the Kickstarter, so my name's in the credits, which is kind of cool. And lastly, like, they're just a great band. And we're sort of friends with them through the Nerdy Show guys. They come through every now and again. If you've never heard of I Fight Dragons, it is like this, like, not stereotypical, but it's got that sort of alt-rock thing from the last 10 years, plus chiptunes. And everybody who grew up in the 80s and long loves a good chiptune, and they do a great job of blending them together. Their new album, they actually have like a concept album for part of the album. The rest are just single songs. But they actually did, with, I think if you buy it with their package, it has like a graphic novel that corresponds to the concept album, like a whole thing. And it's just really, really cool. I Fight Dragons in the Near Future. You got to check them out, and hopefully they'll come to Orlando soon. Pat's choice, I got to mention, is Damien Rice's My Favorite Faded Fantasy. I don't think they did a Kickstarter for this, but of course, because Pat is a huge Damien Rice fan, he got like the box set for the album, and I mean box, I mean a wooden box this thing came in.
Really?
It was a wood, with a lithograph that he has up here in the office.
Oh, wow.
I've heard part of the album. I haven't heard the whole thing, although actually I probably have, because Pat played it one day and we're in the car a longer drive. But Damien Rice is one of those singer-songwriters that you have to kind of get past his voice. He's got like that very sort of sketchy, scratchy voice.
I was like, did he say you just got to get past his voice?
Well, because like some people would get turned off by like that not very like polished pop vocal.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this, you know, of all the different singers and whatnot that I've heard maybe in the last few years, and he's been doing this for a while. I mean, I'd heard about him. I like his style because his song structure is not your typical, like he does a lot of like variations on typical pop structure, but they're all very memorable and they're all very listenable, even if they're depressing. That's the only thing. It's like, a lot of them are pretty down, but it's a great album, well produced, really good. Like, you know, he's been sort of developing this trade and craft, and I don't know who his producers were this time, but compared to the albums I've heard previously, like this one seems stronger and better produced. So, you know, I don't know. Definitely worth checking out if you like singer-songwriter. He's Irish. If you like Irish musicians. Actually has certain qualities of Irish, other Irish bands that I know of. But that's Pat's pick. Did you guys have any
particular? All right, well, I listen to Spotify. Yep. So all I have to say is I saw Shab. I saw Shab this year. I got to see Shab.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So you bitches go to hell. I saw Shab.
Oh, that's cool, though. Throwing it in my face. Just throwing it
I thought shit.
Oral?
I saw Fits in the Tantrums, and I would have to say that they're like my big this year, introduced to me by my friend who lives in Barcelona. Shout out to Jessica. Whoop, whoop. I gave you a whoop, whoop.
They have that whistle song, right?
What? Yeah.
That gets in my head. I cannot get rid of it. Oh my god! I actually do want
to check
out the album.
Does it have a tone? Because I know somebody who whistles that song and doesn't have a tone.
No, I'm not. No, sometimes
not
I just
a
whistle.
Tone, Jimmy Fam.
I don't know
sometimes
who you're talking about.
I just whistle. God damn it!
Just that solid whistle.
Does he break out in a deo randomly?
But no, if you've never listened to Fits and the Tantrums, you probably heard their music before. They're really awesome. They're great to see live. Totally do it. I saw... who else did I see? I saw Erasure.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
I saw them. The audio at the House of Blues was terrible.
Yeah,
but I saw them.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I got to see Pet Shop Boys this year and Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk, certainly.
Kraftwerk, really?
Yeah. Cap and I and Cap's brother went to the Moog Fest up in Asheville, and they were part of that. I also saw Flying Lotus, which I had never heard before and actually kind of liked, even though he's more of like a trip-hop guy.
I saw Cher.
Yes, you saw Cher. Jared, have you caught any music caught your fancy?
No.
What do you listen to when you are working on stuff?
Depeche Mode.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Good choice. Classic.
I was listening to Depeche Mode today.
Oh, good. Good, good.
All right, well, let's move on. Comics are, of course, favorite segment. We are not, oh, by the way, we're not doing gay news of the year. I think the perennial gay news of the year is what state allows marriage now. So we can just kind of refer to that and say, guess what? Florida's going to get it very soon, we think, in spite of all the nonsense that happened at the election. Right, Havoc? Exactly. And in terms of gay advice, we were very happy. I think we got some good feedback. Havoc sharing some questions and some feedback. We hope to get more questions. We have a lot still left to go through from that thread. But if you have questions for us, you can post them on Facebook and we will get to them. Hopefully in the new year we will have some time to do that. Also, between our little segment here, I will mention that if you have not heard our interview with Ophira Eisenberg, you owe it to yourself to go back one in the feed or one up in
yes,
the,
you do,
in the feed
awesome.
Or whatever. So, Ophira was amazing. In spite of some Skype difficulties, it was a very good interview. She was very funny. I just can't say enough. She shared it. She shared that interview all
yes, she did.
Upside one and down the other. Like, if you've never heard Ask Me Another on NPR, not only is it a lot of fun to be there during the recording, but to listen to it is just a treat.
So what you're saying is in the next, 10 years or so, Flame On might become a NPR cornerstone.
Let's just say
that's
that
what I've been trying to do for you, bitches.
If we could get some of that serial Radio Lab vibe going in this thing, I'd be so thrilled. Oh, Snap Judgment. That's one of my new favorites.
Oh, we'll just take clips of all of our old episodes and play them with some new content.
Put some beats under them. We'll be good. No, we're both.
I love Snap Judgment. Don't judge me.
Oral and I are some big NPR fans. Well, Jared, you too, right?
On the weekends, yeah.
Well, we know Saturday at least from 6 to 8.
John DiLiberto and a Prairie Home Companion. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, I can't wait for them to go off the air.
I just listened to an episode the other day, and I think it was a recent one, but it's hard to say because they all sound the same. Uh-huh. But, oh, my God, it was Garrison was in rare form. It was really good. Anyway, so Ophira in the feed before. So when we come back in the new year, we're going to have a couple fun episodes that we're lining up. We're doing an artist panel. We're talking some maybe some Harry Potter for all you Muggle fans out there. We're going to do a Harry Potter episode.
Why didn't we decide to do this before?
Well,
I love Harry Potter.
We are doing it now, so there you go.
Okay.
Get ready, girls. We're gonna talk Harry Potter with a very special guest who works at the Wizarding World in Universal.
Who's a special guest?
Well, we'll find out later. And the fans will find out when this airs.
The maybe. Guy who cleaned up the throw up?
Oh, you mean a lead, yeah.
Yes, a lead.
Oh, no. Anyway. All right, let's move on to comic books. So, this year, I think, in many ways, has been sort of a transition year in comic books. In many ways, certainly we've seen digital take a bigger and bigger role in the distribution platforms of comic books. We've seen Image rocket to the, not top maybe, but certainly up there in the number of different books they have, and very well succeeding books. Marvel has taken some very interesting turns, some amazing for creative reasons, others less amazing, maybe more predictable given their Disney and / Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, as we talked about. We have seen DC do some interesting things, unfortunately, in some cases, fortunately in others. It's just been an interesting year. Events have come and gone and then come right back, and oh my God.
It's still going.
And next year is actually going to be kind of a crazy year, too, with both publishers, Marvel and DC, doing a sort of a game-changing universe restructuring something, whatever the hell Convergence right. and
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars is. But this year, I think one of the things that's, to me, stood out, thankfully, because I was worried it was going to stand out for another reason, meaning it wasn't going to show up, is Multiversity by Grant Morrison and other artists. We're four issues in. We just had Pax Americana, and I think there's a new one coming out maybe in the next week or two. And I'm telling you, like, thankfully, Grant still got it. It's still really just crazy, like big idea crazy.
Girl, he still got it.
He ever had it?
And I know we're not all Grant Morrison fans here. Some of us may or may not have enjoyed some of his other work. I don't know.
I enjoyed his X-Men.
Some enjoy his
X-Men. The last four issues, and I didn't know what to
do. That's kind of everybody's take, right? But no, it's Multiverse has been amazing. I've talked about it in this podcast. I've talked about it on Comic Book Bears. I've talked a lot about it on Comic Book Bears, so I won't go crazy here. But seriously, if you like DC, like obscure, sort of crazy, obscure DC, and or you kind of like this conceit that everything is connected, every character, every story exists somewhere, I think you're going to dig Multiversity because it plays that idea. It's metatextual, so if you get interested into that sort of, talking about comics through comics, but as an allegory more than actual, comic book comics, where they're literally talking about comics, or Scott McCloud or whatever. It's really cool. Like, the art's been amazing. I think every issue has a unique style. The Just had that kind of photo-painted sort of style. The JLA one, or the
Kids...
The kids was the Just one. The JLA one that had like Midnight and all the other kind of pulpy characters. Pax Americana, the Quiet Lee Watchmen one was just so beautiful. And I'm really curious to see how it plays out. And it's not done. They've got at least another however many. I think it's like a 7 or 8 episode issue. Anyway, Multiversity.
The compendium to explain exactly what he was talking about.
That comes out too, I think, actually.
Of course it does.
Well, this is the thing about that. That was not something written by an editor. He wrote that, I believe, because he did an interview recently. I forgot what source it was from, but he talked about sort of using that as a chance to expand upon what he was doing. So that's my pick. Eric, what's your pick?
Well, it's funny. Multiversity, the first issue, I was like, oh, this is, no offense, Brian, this is Grant Morrison crap. But from the Just and the Justice Society and Pac. Now I really like it. Now I got into it. But that first one when the Captain Carrot showed up, I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to come back to that whole
story. I'm sure, but I'm liking the other stuff he's introducing me to. But, I mean, for me, I mean, there's a lot for Image that came out that has been really, really good. But I've liked Spider-Verse and this period Spider-Man stuff has been great. And my ending of my Diana was fantastic.
Aww.
So sad.
So how is didn't the second issue of Finch's Wonder Woman come out?
No, it comes out this week.
Have you read it yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean
it was, the first issue was, I mean, it was okay. It didn't really annoy me that much. But it's funny, you know, Azarella, nobody guest starred in her book except her. And then first issue, everybody's there.
Well, I know they were sort of connecting it back to the rest of the universe. I know that was a big thing for them, which after what they did before, it kind of makes sense, you know? But I just, from what I saw, the art choices were odd, and I don't know. Yeah, sad. Yeah. It's sad.
It is.
Because Wonder Woman, like, there's kind of a resurgence of interest in Marston and the origins of the Wonder Woman character. There's two great biographies out there, one about Marston, one about Wonder Woman, that I've been reading. And Grant Morrison is actually doing an Earth One Wonder Woman, and he said he's trying to get back to that origins of Wonder Woman. So it's, and now we have Gal Gadot or Gadot, whatever, as Wonder Woman in the new movie. Like, there's a real resurgence of that. So I hope that the Finch thing is sort of a stopgap until the reboot or until whatever Convergence is.
Right,
and then maybe we get some like better team. But you know, DC just continues to make some interesting choices.
Very weird.
But, you know, in some cases, like, we should probably talk a little bit about Batgirl because of the controversy. There are some interesting creative teams coming on and doing, you know, some sort of different things that sort of defy the house style that DC seemed to have been doing.
So, Eric and I looked at that cover of Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually I'll get around to my favorite because I'm figuring that out. But, and I was like, girl, did you see this? You know that bitch is like, oh, girl, Babs, don't worry. You look fantastic. And then you text your friends, bitch, when you see what Barbara shows up at the club in. Like,
it was horrible.
It was
that bedazzled costume that she was wearing?
Oh, yeah. So not Batgirl, but the other one?
Dagger type.
Yeah.
Which made a big old mess. Because she's a transsexual, and she was a villain, and everyone got all upset because they made a transsexual villain. And it's like, you know...
No, that's not why they were upset.
Well, that's what Aaron was saying. It was sort of the stereotype.
That's not... No, that... We wouldn't mind a transsexual villain. That doesn't...
Okay.
Not that I'm speaking for the trans community, because, you know...
Go for it.
But the issue we have is that
you
the way...
You have to apologize later.
Look, there's a really, there are multiple representatives of the trans community who come into the shop and they all love me. So if you're mad at me, you can take it up with some girls. They will cut you down to size. You know which ones I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it was just stereotypical.
Okay.
There's a difference between, you know, dynamic and round characters and flat and two-dimensional characters. And that character was flat and two-dimensional. And their dimension was rooted in stereotypes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because comic books never does that.
Nope.
I mean, the only thing I will say, and we post this about in Flame On, and I have nothing but respect for the transgender community, but I will say this, it is more than just one person's view. It is more than just the Tumblr sort of crowd speak. There are people out there who can take a joke, and there are people out there who absolutely laugh their ass off at that issue because that issue is ridiculous. But it's a comic book about a woman who dresses up in a patent leather sort of weird outfit as Batgirl and fights. It was Batgirl, not Batwoman, right? Batgirl, right?
Yeah,
okay. Batgirl. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I wasn't
mistaken. That's a lesbian.
Well, but I mean, like, I don't know. It seemed like an interesting story. I've applauded them even having a transgender character play a role, But some people, I guess, were offended. And what is typical of these gays is the only way to tamp down the crazy and the freak out online is to issue a letter of apology. And it's like, well, okay, apologize that people were offended. But just, I don't know. I guess I'm still of the mindset that there is a certain part of the community that needs to grow a thicker skin. And I'm not saying every transgender, drag queen, little gay boy and girl needs to not be upset by things.
I just feel like we should be saying the views of some people on this podcast and not the views of everybody.
If you have any grievances with what you just heard,
you can direct it
all to Brian.
Brian@flamemonshow.com.
I am totally supportive.
I am not 100%. Ooh, back up. I am very supportive of the trans community. Some of my best friends are transgender or drag queen. We'll include them in this. My point is, we have all been through the stereotypes. How many years as gay men have we been through the Hollywood stereotype of gay men? Will and Grace, Jack and Will, are stereotypes of gay men.
They're all teapots.
Right. Exactly.
Short and stout.
There's his handle. Here's his spout.
But I mean, I'm just saying, did that mortally offend us and did we then turn around and write in to protest this to the editors and the producers of the show? I mean, it's like, it's a comic book. It's a TV show.
Well, no, here's
the thing. Put it in proper context.
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll put it in proper context.
Okay.
So, Will and Grace is touted as one of those, like, groundbreaking, like, series where it had, like, mass appeal and great crossover and, you know, it reached people. And, you know, I look at Jack and Will and you see aspects of yourself in them.
Sure.
Like, I've never looked at both of them and thought complete and other stereotypes because, like, sometimes I am those people. Well, like, yeah, that doesn't right. bother
stereotypes
me.
Stereotypes are rooted in reality.
Yes, but I find them, for the most part, authentic.
Okay.
Not across the board, but they're authentic.
But you don't think that the writers of that show, not unlike the writers of, like, Big Bang Theory, for example, they play off the stereotypes.
Oh, no, that's a mental show. I'm not dealing with that show.
But there are moments in Will and Grace where that's exactly how I felt. I felt like they were playing for the cheap seats. And I'm sorry.
Is that because you're old?
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, all I'm saying is that stereotypes are not accurate, of course.
No.
Everyone's a snowflake. Everybody's different. But that does not mean they don't resonate because there is elements of truth in them. And that character, from what I saw, had elements, because I had a part on the house all the time. There are some men who dress up as ladies, and they would probably transvestite, they might be transgendered. I have not asked. But let me just tell you, there are elements of truth in that stereotype, at least from what I have observed. Now, there are also transgendered men and women, and all points in between, who are far more complex and interesting and different than a stereotype could ever hope to depict. But why freak out and demand apology when these writers just thought this is an interesting story? And from what I've heard, like, it's an interesting story about the celebrity. It sort of looks at the idea of, you know, no, it's sort of like that street artist, performance artist sort of thing. Like, that's interesting. Why not acknowledge the creativity of a story like that as opposed to tearing it down because it insults you?
Well, here's what I will say.
But it's not trying to insult you.
No. Here's what I will say. When, like, going back to Will and Grace, you know, it was the 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Some of us were, you know, whatever.
But, you know, like, anything that portrays, you know, your demographic in a positive light when you've been reviled and spit upon, you know, for countless of generations, we're going to be saying, oh, thanks a lot. But, you know, at this stage in the game, you just this person cross-dresses,
right,
and they're fucking insane, and there's, you know, all these issues. And, you know, Barbara, who had a transgendered roommate.
Right, yeah. Had they dropped that her like a bad habit? I mean,
she showed up a little in the last issue.
Okay.
But, like, she was just like, you're a guy? Why would that shock you?
Yeah.
Why would that shock you? It's just, they don't have...
So that was really the moment in the whole thing where it was, like, tone deaf.
Yeah. Okay. And, like, that's... I think that's why people are upset, is because you can have a villain and, you know, them being transgender. Okay, because we want to get to the point where, you know, like, everyone can be anything.
Right.
That is the epitome of the struggle. Yeah. That is what you try to achieve. Everyone can be everything.
Gender fluid.
Yeah, sure, whatever. But the thing that made them angry is that everyone can be everything, but this is really shocking and weird.
Yeah.
And, like, the look on that character's face, because, you know, like, you know, Jared as an artist, you can do surprise, and surprise can be broken down into a lot of things, but surprise and disgust, just...
Was there, like,
There's a slight, like, you're a guy? And it's just like, no, this isn't gonna work.
I gotcha. Well, I don't know. I guess I've seen reactions like this before in other areas, and the level of drama, the level of outrage surprises me. But again, I'm not transgendered, so I can't appreciate it from that perspective. But as a gay man, so many years of my life have been dealing with stereotypes, good or bad. And at the end of the day, the only thing I come down to is, are you trying to insult me? Are you thinking less of me? If you are, I'm upset. If you're not, and you're making an honest joke at my expense or about my proclivity, about who I am, oh well. Because you're meaning well. You're making a joke. You know, Bianca Del Rio absolutely makes fun of everybody. That's her thing. That's her shtick. Wherever you are, if you hear it, you could be very easily offended by what she is saying, because there are things that are absolutely offensive to people. But she doesn't mean it to hurt you. That's her shtick. That's her thing. And as a storyteller, I would hate to rein in the storytelling possibilities of having a transgendered bad guy, of having a gay man bad guy, woman. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, a lesbian bad guy. Like, there should be all types of bad guys, all types of characters, good, bad, or indifferent. So, I don't know. That was my thought on that lovely diversion we had at the end of this year. Other books that we're excited about?
The Marvel one that's coming, you know what I'm excited for? Black Vortex?
Black Vortex. But no, like, that's a regular show. I didn't even say what
the
I was
Return
talking
of Jean
about.
Grey.
Oh, you didn't get to that.
No, okay. So I guess everyone knows that I have loved Wonder Woman. Like, that's, I think, what I'm most happy and thankful for in 2014, because, you know, even though things like Swamp Thing are great, and I love, like, Karen Gillan's Young Avengers, it's something about that book that just completely struck a chord.
Absolutely.
Because I found it completely authentic, not only to itself, but, like, dedicated to the story it wanted to tell. And it didn't need to pull any gimmicks and guest stars and crossovers. Like, it didn't need to deal with any of the greater DC, like, bullshit that sometimes happens. And it was the end-all be-all for me, and I'm really sad to see it go.
I was very pleased when they actually were on the panel at New York Comic Con for queer creators, queer and allied creators. And, you know, they're like, look, we just decided at one point during the story planning to give everybody sort of a queer moment. And that was cool. Like, that has verisimilitude, right? Something like the villain in Batgirl may not have that sense of realisticness. You know, I can believe this would happen.
Right.
But that, having a character go, yeah, I've slept with a guy, I've slept with a girl, I've been done, I've, whatever. Like, that was, like, very genuine.
Right.
It didn't get shoehorned in. Or if they did decide to kind of stick it, you know, in there at random points, like, it felt organic. So, like, I absolutely would prefer that sort of storytelling. But, no, Young Avengers was amazing. And it is sad that that book can't sustain.
I don't know. Maybe it's just their thing that they like to just put it out there. Because I think, I don't know, it seemed to be doing well.
That's what it is. They just put it out there. Young Avengers has never been an ongoing
Right.
Like,
it's always been, you know, you got but a mini or they get start here. And then, boom. So they don't oversaturate it. They don't bore you to tears. They don't drag it out.
They tell their story and they get in the
game. Right. And then everybody goes their separate way, and then they bring it all back again. And
Well, it's good to see that a creation of a gay man Alan Heinberg is actually still alive and thriving, even if they're in their own separate things. Hell, they just brought back Cassie in Avengers World, I think.
Who the fuck cares about Cassie?
They killed her in Children's Crusade.
Oh, that's right. She is alive. Boo, boo, hiss. I hate stature. Boo, boo, hiss.
Why?
Because she's boring.
Well, maybe. Jared, have you read any comics this year? I know you read at least one.
I did.
You talked about it.
What was it?
I don't know, but you were like, well, I may have to start picking it up now because it had something that appealed to your interests.
This is my Tina Belcher impersonation.
Well, fine. If you can't think of any... I thought you read something. All right, let's go. Well, hell, that's it.
Wow.
We just finished our show.
Let's just wrap it up. I'm tired.
Oh, what? I was saying you're done with school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even want to know why you're sleepy. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting us this year. We actually, this year, we'll talk real quick about this. We had a sponsor. That's the first time, I think, in the history of Nerdy Show shows that somebody has reached out and sponsored a show. We had AdamMail.com, our friend Lee up at Adam Mail, who actually got to meet at Heroes Con, sponsored us for 2 episodes. The coupon code, by the way, is, I believe, Flame On, and that's still out there. It's still good. And that was like 50% off, I think, an item. Like, Adam Mail is...
I have to go home to Batman. I'll be back.
Well, I may have to go check the site out, because actually, when we got the coupon code, I looked through, and I didn't find anything that I was interested in. But, you know, they always add new stuff. So, I might have to go revisit that. But, no, Lee's actually really cool. The Adam Mail blog, I think we've reposted a couple of their entries. He is maintaining that and keeping a geeky... sort of prurient kind of mix.
I wonder if they have those superhero dildos.
We should
mind a Hulkbuster.
That'd be a great idea.
An iron rod.
Can we get those and like independently evaluate those and report back?
An industrial barrel full of lube.
Can I get that vat?
With a pump. You got to get the bedside pump. All right, good to go. So we had that happen this year. Of course, we went up to Heroes. Well,
who's we?
Some of us. Hopefully next year, more of us got to host their very first queer panel with the Hernandez brothers, Kate Leth, and Terry Moore. That was cool. New York Comic Con, again, you know, only...
Brian gets the only one who does anything around here.
Pat and me. But no, we actually were, you know, Comic Book Bears did their live recording. I was part of that. You know, we're getting out there. That's all I'm saying. Flame On is being represented. Next year, we hope to be a part of the curiously named Geeks Out-sponsored show, FlameCon, up in New York in May. We're going to try to get up there to that.
Oh, girls, hear that? We're going to try to get up there. It'll probably be, you know, Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Yeah. It's in May. It's not the beginning of May. It's like mid-May. But
it's the beginning of May. We ain't gonna make it, girl.
The BentCon is perennially drawing. In fact, we have a fan on Flame On's Facebook page, and I apologize, I forgot your name. But always, like I think every year now, asks, "Are you coming to BentCon? Are you coming to BentCon?" So it is a goal of mine not only to have Jared go back to out there to cavort with Zan and his crew,
my friends over there.
But I would like to go too, so hopefully that'll happen. And we may even have a show at MegaCon. I pitched a panel. We're going to see if they take it. It is on the fan panel list, whatever that means. But I pitched to do a queer comics and anime panel. So,
oh, I wonder if there'll be a Republican convention going on too.
That would be spectacular.
I remember that year.
Thanks all, of course, to our fans. I feel like this has been the year of increased fan interaction with us.
Did we talk about the fantastic Aquaman artwork that was sent to us?
No.
Okay.
We absolutely should.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, his artwork was fantastic.
it was a really hot Aquaman, and I don't normally like Aquaman or find him attractive, but he did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, it really was cool.
Because, you know, Aquaman looks like an ocean god and not a porpoise.
Not Free Willy.
Oh, not like Carl the Horsefucker. Oh, he will be in the new movies. Khal Drogo.
Oh, yes.
It's just awful. Just take me.
Lord. So, no, I really do want to thank the fans for giving us questions to answer last episode. We actually went through some advice stuff. We're going to do that next year. And all the Facebook and Twitter interaction that we get has been excellent. I'm very happy with that. We just want to do more. So, please, if you're interested, Flame On Podcast on Twitter, Flame On Show on SoundCloud, Facebook, Tumblr, and something else, maybe.
Wait, there are other things behind porn on Tumblr?
There are other things.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, there are other things.
I thought there was just a lot of... Oh, every time I open mine, it's nothing but porn.
Mostly mine is porn, too, but it varies.
Oh,
it varies.
Yeah. I didn't know there's other stuff I could look
for. Really look.
People like sprinkle, you know, like original content into Tumblr. It's not just
Bendis
people.
Bendis posts a lot of stuff on
there. Really? Mm-hmm. I thought people just said this is great for porn.
It is. It is. Don't get them wrong.
No, yeah, it really is.
Because you open mine
Someone
up.
Someone should start a Flame On show on XTube, though. That'd be fun. We have like bath time with Eric outtakes.
No, what we need to do is we need to get with those cosplay deviant people and see if we can get some, you know, like action going on.
Oh my god, there is actually talk of trying to maybe find a way to maybe get somebody on that whole thing. You could do it.
Yeah, he already approached me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I am interested, and I would do it, but the thought of Aaron having that much power over me,
oh.
You know, it would be my business card, it'll be a poster
That's
in the store, you know,
true.
It'll be the Facebook page, my mother
but
be like, what
you,
the fuck?
You of all of us have the body to probably pull
but
it off.
The man that I work for, the power he would have over me for the rest of my days.
Yeah. He should do it.
Ooh. I mean...
Are you kidding me? I would watch the hell out of that.
Have fun with that.
Oh, Pat and I would enjoy that together. Hopefully Aaron hears that. It's a kick. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back in the new year with all kinds of crazy new content. And by crazy, I mean, you said crazy new, not nude.
Crazy nude.
Possibly
content,
nude.
Yeah.
We
possibly
actually did talk
nude.
About that tonight.
Uh-huh.
All right.
If you could see my eyes.
Oh, my God. I could see nothing but your eyes right now.
I am...
Fiery like a Saracen.
I am perturbed. I'm slightly freaked out.
A little uncomfortable right now.
A little is an understatement.
Oh, that's a good way to end the show, then. Flame... out.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.